We start our third and final hour. I'm broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. I'm Jim Rome. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Alvy apparently is working his magic on a Twitter hammer. I mean this. You go over 140 characters, you're not getting red on the air. In fact, you'll get the Twitter hammer. It's like LT runs callers. We will find a way to run tweets that are over 140 characters. Coming up later on, Tennessee Titans safety Kevin Byard. We've already had Will Compton of the Redskins, who showed up like he always does. He killed it. Dennis Dodd, legend. And now I've got open phones, 1-800-636-8686. I do want to reset one thing. In case you missed the open of the program, I did something that I never thought that I would do, but I'm doing more and more and more. I'm leading a nationally syndicated radio program, which originates in Southern California with a take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know my whole thing. Normally, back in the day, I'd say something like, if I'm leading the show with a take on the Jaguars, either something really, really good happened or something really bad happened. And if it's the Jaguars, you could assume something really bad happened. Unless it was way back in the day. You know, Mark Brunell, Tony Baselli, Tom Coughlin, Keenan Cardell, Jimmy Smith. Back in that day when we used to interview those guys. Hell, we had a tour stop, Fred Taylor. Used to have Fred Taylor on the show all the time. We had a tour stop back in the day from Jacksonville. My man Jeff Kopp. How's that for a blast from the past? Jeff Kopp came on. And we did an appearance in Jacksonville. What was the name of that restaurant that was right on the water that we did the day after? That was one of those crazy events way, way, way back in the day where we did a station appearance. And we did an appearance that night. It was one of those things where we did like three appearances. We did the show. We did an appearance that night. And the night was at a bar next to a gun shop, which is pretty unfortunate when you think about it. And then the next day, what was the name of that place? Sloppy Joe's? Something or other. Really, really cool spot in Jacksonville on the water the next morning. So way back in the day, you know, mid-2000s, early 2000s. But not since. And yet here we are. And I started the show with a Jaguar take, and it was a positive take. Mostly positive take. A take about Jalen Ramsey. And you go back to the fight that he got into with A.J. Green, where A.J. Green just lost his mind. Where A.J. Green, one of the most laid-back guys in the NFL, just went crazy on this guy. So you wonder exactly what was said. What did Ramsey say to set this guy off? What could he possibly have done to set off one of the most chill guys in the league and turn him into a body-slamming, head-punching machine? Was it personal? Was it about his family? Did Ramsey cross the line? Ramsey addressed it yesterday and said, no, I didn't do any of that.
I locked receivers down. Physically and mentally, I get my mind. Get under their skin. I talk my talk. Whatever I'm going to say. It's rumors out there that I said, like, some deep, some personal stuff. I'm going to let y'all know that's not true, off rip. I get out there, I do my thing, I talk shit. I don't go personal, I don't talk about nobody, wife, nobody, kids, nobody, family, I don't do that.
All right, so he talks bleep, but he doesn't go out there and talk about, quote, nobody's wife, nobody's kids, or family, I don't do that. All right, so, Jay, exactly what do you do?
I told him almost every play that he was weak, that he was soft. That demonstrate facts, he just couldn't handle the truth, it was facts. Told him that his time almost up.
All right, so that's what he told him. He said, I told him almost every single play. He was weak. He was soft. Them is straight facts. He just couldn't handle the truth. I told him that his time was almost up. It's an amazing quote. It's an amazing quote first because I don't think any of it's true. A.J. Green is not weak. A.J. Green is not soft. A.J. Green's time is not almost up. But the fact that a second-year corner is saying that is awesome. And then one soundbite that I haven't played for you yet. He wants to make sure everybody knows that Green is weak.
He just failed because he's weak. I mean, he's small. You know, some people are mentally strong. He wasn't during the game. He wasn't mentally strong. You know, I've talked to a few of his teammates afterwards, a couple guys I know, and they had been told me, they was like, once AJ started talking back, we knew you had him because he don't ever talk. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I do every week. I knew I had him to a point, and then the stadium kind of helped me out because right before we went out there, they showed the big highlight of me locking him down and his one catch for 6 yards. So,
dude, this guy's incredible. I mean, this guy's incredible. Why did he fall down? Because he's weak. because he's mentally weak, because they showed his one highlight for his one reception for 6 yards, and even his own teammates were telling me, we knew you had him when he was talking back because he never says anything. Boy, Jalen, they must respect you a lot if they're turning their backs on their own guy to hype you, a second-year opponent. This guy is something else. Danica may have been onto something when she called him a national treasure. So that's why I'm leading with a Jacksonville Jaguar take. When you have a guy like that saying things like that who's 2 years in, you're probably going to lead this show. Jalen Ramsey, the Jags, back on top in the jungle. We talked about the dysfunction of the Chicago Bulls, where the players themselves are siding with a guy who broke another teammate's face. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, that's true. The Bulls are lining up behind Bobby Portis and not Nick Mirotic. And Mirotic is the one with the shattered face. Giants are 1-7. A team that had Super Bowl aspirations this past August. They won 11 games last year. And now reports that the team is turning on the head coach. Players anonymously going to ESPN saying, yeah, guys aren't trying for him. He's lost the team. And we talked about Lonzo Ball, too. Where I said, yeah, the guy didn't have a great game last night. I understand he's had some ups and downs. He's not off to a great start. He's 11 games in. Stop with this crap about what a bust he is and what a terrible draft pick that was. You're not hating on the kid. You're hating on the old man. Be honest. Just be real with it. Got a story breaking from TMZ. Uh-oh. And so it begins.
Uh-oh.
According to TMZ, O.J. Simpson thrown out of a Vegas hotel last night for belligerence. O.J., here's the report. O.J. was booted from the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Las Vegas after allegedly getting wasted and then being extremely unruly. Simpson, again, this is according to TMZ, Simpson had been frequenting bars at the hotel since his release from prison. Hotel staff tells TMZ at around midnight last night, he was drunk and became disruptive at the Click Bar. We're told that Simpson was angry at hotel staff and glasses broke at the bar. Security showed up and removed Simpson from the hotel. We're told that Simpson has been permanently banned from the Cosmopolitan. All right, so if you had the over-under of O.J. Simpson being banned permanently from the Cosmopolitan Hotel at 30 days, and you had the over, you win. This guy's been out of jail for 40 days and is already banned from a major hotel in Vegas.
For life.
And a pretty upscale hotel, the Cosmopolitan Hotel. I'm sure many of you have been there. So Oge goes Oge. And listen, I mean, I'd love to sit here and be the guy to say, come on, Oge, you did your time, you got out, live your time, live your remaining days out quietly and peacefully, go to Florida, play some golf, stay off our radar. Is there anybody anywhere who thought that was a possibility? You know, my shock is not in that this guy got booted from the Cosmopolitan for life. Or permanently, my shock is that it took as long as it did for it to happen. That it took 40 days. I would have had this guy 4 days for sure. I'm out? All right then. Yeah, I mean, no sooner than they stuck that iPhone in his hand, something he had never seen before, and he got up to speed with that thing quickly, and Tinder and everything else that comes along with it, this guy swiping, I would have thought that he would have been in bars making up for lost time. So he actually stayed down for about a month before getting kicked out of a bar. Is there a worse idea than OJ going up and down the strip in Vegas, blasted?
Oh.
Breaking glasses and belligerent. I'd love to know what he was so belligerent about. As if the world owes that guy something. He already got away with killing two people.
Oh.
But the world owes him something. What, like he couldn't get the bartender's attention? Hey, OJ, get used to it. You're OJ Simpson. People are not happy to see you. People are never going to be happy to see you. You're not going to be able to cut the line. You're not going to get the bartender's attention. You're going to be like the rest of us. In fact, worse than the rest of us. Yeah, but then again, there are a lot of bars in Vegas, right, Oj? Just move down the strip. Hit the next one up. Is there any doubt that something really bad is going to happen to this guy? Because even if he is minding his own business, he's putting himself in bad spots. He's going to places where he shouldn't be. And don't even start with, he did his time. He's welcome to go wherever he wants. Oh, he is. He is. But just because you're welcome to go wherever you want does not mean that you do. This is why athletes and celebrities are very careful about what they go. They don't want to put them in bad spots where they can get hooked, where something bad could happen. And if this guy's out there prowling the strip, going up and down the strip, hitting up beers or bars, slamming drinks, breaking glasses, something's going to happen. He's going to get hooked easily. Or he's just going to go OJ himself. But something bad's going to happen, something much worse than this. 1-800-636-8686. That just in from TMZ. Dear Jim, OJ has lived a basically conflict-free life. Cut him some slack.
I've always thought I've been pretty good with people, and I've basically spent a conflict-free life.
Corey in Bellingham. Well done, Corey. Imagine this guy going in front of anybody, a judge, or anybody else and saying, hey, listen, I don't really understand why everybody's coming for me. I've lived basically a conflict-free life.
I've basically spent a conflict-free life.
Yeah, other than those two people who were carved, other than those two murder victims, yeah, it's been a conflict-free life. Dude, you're out. Do you really want to go back to where you just came from? Man, stay down. Play golf. Stay in. Have somebody bring the party to you. I mean, have you ever been to Vegas? I love Vegas. I mean, I love Vegas. But there are so many easy ways to get into trouble for even the most average of people. How is a guy like that not going to get into trouble? In Las Vegas, where people are drunk and partying. You ever notice bad things happen where people drink copious amounts of booze? And there's a lot of booze being consumed. Hey, look, in a lot of places. Not just Vegas, but definitely in Vegas. I've been to Vegas and had some really amazing times. And I've been to Vegas and been minding my own business and not had a good time. Let me give you an example about Vegas. So Janet and I go to Vegas once, and we were there for somebody's wedding. And we come back one night, and I'm totally normal. Went to dinner, had a cocktail, totally low-key, and just minding our own business. Not going to a club, not staying out late, not being in the wrong place. Being in a really upscale hotel, by the way. Get into this elevator maybe at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and some really sketchy dude jumps in right as the door is closing. It's weird. And the hotel's got like, I don't know, 60 floors or 80 floors. Total high-rise. And we're going up, and it's just the three of us, and this guy literally starts dropping lines on Janet. And this dude looks like he's, not only is he sketched out, he's probably high. In fact, I know he's high. And I'm like, bro, that's my wife. That is my wife. Man, what the hell's the matter with you, man? Stop. And we're in this hotel, in this elevator, and we're going up. It's just three of us. And the guy looks at me and he says to me, yeah, well, maybe she's ready for a real man. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And like, we're going to go. Literally, there's going to be a fight in an elevator with my wife right there, and this guy's peeking on who knows what. And then all of a sudden, this is in Vegas. And again, this could happen in New York. It could happen in Chicago. It could happen in Boston. But it did happen in Vegas. Weird things happen in Vegas sometimes. And that was weird, all right. The door opens up, not at our floor, and it was really eerie. And this guy who's working the floor, when the door just suddenly opened up, goes, is there a problem? Like, the guy could tell there's a bad vibe. I'm like, no, it's not a problem. And we get out, and it's not our floor. And this guy who's peeking on whatever he's peeking on goes to hassle somebody else, I'm sure, at a higher floor. Point of the story is, man, weird things can happen in that town. And if OJ is going up and down the strip, breaking glasses, and getting permanently thrown out of bars, even if that guy's minding his own business, somebody's going to roll up on him. Somebody's going to roll up on him and say, hey, did you kill Bill Walsh? And something's going to happen. Meantime, there apparently is some police audio recorded just after midnight. And you can hear the dispatcher say, Orenthal is here. And it seems that the dispatcher believed that Simpson was at a popular pizza joint in the hotel. The dispatcher then corrects herself and says that he was at the bar asking about the pizza place.
We failed the sounds all the way to Cosmopolitan. It's negative. Can we get updated location?
Oracle's here. Pretty big correction of the location. He's actually sitting inside the bar. He was asking about the pizza shop.
Well, anyway, that doesn't suggest he's doing anything wrong. I mean, the dispatcher did get formal with it and referred him as Orenthal.
Oracle's here.
Orenthal or Oracle?
Oracle's here.
Orenthal or Oracle?
Oracle's here.
Alvin, you got to slow that thing down frame by frame. Orenthal is here. Are we talking about Orenthal J. Simpson, or are we talking about Oracle? Just play it. Play it at regular speed.
Oracle's here. Oracle's here.
Oracle?
Oracle's
Oracle
here.
Simpson? Ari Gold?
Oracle's here.
Oh, Ari Gold is here. Ari
Oracle's
Gold
here.
Is here.
Oracle's here. Oracle's here. Oracle's here.
It's Oracle. 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 Oracle.
Oracle's here. Oracle's here.
What, a major software company's here?
Oracle's Oracle? Here. Oracle's here.
It's getting twisted. Anyway, according to TMZ, he got thrown out of a Vegas hotel last night for belligerence. I'm not at all surprised. I'm more surprised it took that long for us to get that story. My man, just play golf. Play golf. Stay out of Vegas. But he's going to go where he's got friends. Dear Rome, I am responsible for OJ getting kicked out of the Cosmos. Signed, Carrot Top. No, he did to himself, pretty much. All right, anybody want to add to the conversation? Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. That breaking news, TMZ had the story. When we return...
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
When things come out left field, having a game plan matters. Farmers Insurance has over 89 years of experience helping people plan ahead. We know a thing or two because we have seen a thing or two. Visit farmers.com. Right, so it's not some idle threat or some idle rant. I'm really not into Twitter going to 280 characters. We don't need it. I liked it that you only had 140. There was a discipline to it. It forced all of us to raise our games. How sharp, how clever, how succinct, how concise could you be? I liked it. I liked that a lot. This is going to make people fat and soft and lazy. So more is not better. Bigger is not better. And I made it clear, if you come in over 140, you're going to get hammered. You're going to get cut off. It's going to be savage. And it was. But in order for me to really make that point, it's one thing for me to say it, but it's another for you to hear it. Like when a caller gets run, LT comes in, and that caller knows he got run. The same thing needs to happen on Twitter. So I said, I'm going to involve you in the process. Give me some of your submissions or ideas. What's the best thing for a Twitter hammer? Alvin has seen some of this, and he's worked something up already.
Stop. Hammer time. Give me back my 140.
Too much down there, man.
It's pretty severe. Pretty savage. Now, to know whether or not that will work, and that might be too much of a good thing, Alvin. You might have gotten too ambitious with that. Let's read one and then see how it sounds. Let's see. We get thousands of ideas. I've taken them down. I need a bad tweet, a long tweet. So for that, I go to Denlesk's. Dear Jim, LiAngelo Ball will do fine with house arrest. I've been in 24-hour house arrest for years. Sincerely.
Hammer time. Give me back my 140.
Too much down there, man.
Boy, there's a lot going on there, Alvin. If I'm not mistaken, I heard MC Hammer, I heard the Twitter bird. I heard Mel Gibson. I heard the situation saying one shot. I heard my man Mike Gundy with 40. Tori Hunter saying that there's too much down there. And Rachel's manual buzzer. Let me hear that thing together one more time.
Stop. Hammer time. Give me back my 140.
Too much down there, man.
All right, so you got to explain some of these things to me. Why do we want give me back my son for a tweet that's too long? Like, give me back my 140? I would take that out.
Give me back my 140!
Give me back my 140. But the thing is, they don't want their 140. I guess that's me saying give me back my 140. All right.
Give me back my 140!
Wow, I see what you did there now. All right, I got to admit, I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. Play it for me again in its entirety.
Stop. Hammer time. Give me back my 140!
Too much down there, man.
Too much down there, man. The problem is when I don't think they're being too much
tweet.
Too
much down there, man.
I think about what he's saying. Too much down there, man. But it is Tori. If we can work Tori into it.
Too much down there, man.
This is where your brilliance is even working quicker than I am at this point. It might work. They've also got my against Rachel's And then as I start to kind of fade out, she comes in at the very end. Hammer, Twitter bird, Gibby, situation, Gundy, Tori, me, Rach.
Hammer time. Give me back my 140.
Too much down there, man.
There might be too much down there, man. I don't know. I got to see. There might be too much going on there. There might be too much down there, but it might work. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the superstar battery that is an exact fit for your car. O'Reilly Auto Parts, parts, better prices every day. It's a work in progress, but you're off to a good start, Alvy. Next segment, Tennessee Titans safety, Kevin Byard. 5 minutes out. I'm looking at Twitter. Josh in Detroit, who's on hold right now, is tweeting at Hawk and me. He tweets, stepping my game up. iPhone 10. Now I get a rat call. So he's got a picture of himself with his new phone, thinking that the quality of the phone is going to increase the quality of the take and his chances of getting racked. Hey, Josh, a bad take is a bad take if it's on an iPhone 10 or an iPhone 1. It doesn't matter. A bad take's a bad take. My man, I hate to think that you threw down for that phone, because I have one, I know what they cost, that you threw down for that phone to enhance your chances of getting racked. Because it doesn't. It won't. A bad take is a bad take, no matter what phone you make that call from. When we come back, Kevin Byard. Jay Berman, though, has got a sports update for you. Why pay more for annual protection motor oil when you can get Castrol Edge Extended Performance for less? It goes 15,000 miles between oil changes. Titanium strong Castrol Edge is more than just an oil. It is liquid engineering. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a safety for the Tennessee Titans. He is having an enormous year. 4 tackles, 3 passes defensed, 2 interceptions in that Week 9 win over Baltimore. He leads the NFL in interceptions with 6. He's got 45 tackles, 10 passes defensed to go along with the 6 interceptions, a fumble recovery as well. He was a 2-time first-team all-conference player at Middle Tennessee State. He was the 64th pick overall in 2016. Tennessee is at home against Cincinnati. Kevin Byard is my guest. Kevin, nice to have you on. How are you?
It's great to be here. How you doing, Jerome?
Good, Kevin. Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much. You had the 2 interceptions in the win over Baltimore, Kevin. You had 3 against Cleveland the game before that. So I got to ask, what was your mindset going into Sunday's game when it comes to picks? When you're as locked in as you are right now, are you fully expecting to get at least 1 against Baltimore the way you did?
I mean, to be honest, I went into the game, you know, actually trying to better my last performance. I always try to go into, you know, each game trying to better my last time out, you know, when I'm coming to practice trying to be better than the last day. So I'm always going to the game trying to better my performance. So, I mean, it's going to be the same thing with the Cincinnati game.
Kevin Byard, my guest. All right, so after that second interception, you and some of your teammates broke out a temptations dance. Where did the idea come from that, and then what do you make of the execution? Did you guys get it?
I mean, to be honest, it all starts in practice. You know, the first person I always say to him is Adore, because, you know, he's seeing the Steelers, he's seeing Juju Smith, his former teammate, doing all kinds of celebrations. So he's itching to try to do a group dance or something like that. And I think somehow in practice it just came up with temptations. We should do this 1-2 step. And then it went from there, and it just went on and on. And we actually didn't get to finish the dance, but hopefully we'll have something else cooking up for us in a few weeks coming up.
I mean, Kevin, it's fun, right? It's so good that they loosen that up and you guys can do that. It's not a big thing, man. It's fun, right? It's good to have some emotion and have some fun. What's it like being out there and making plays and being able to celebrate it with your teammates?
I mean, it's extremely fun. You know, I always look at it like, I mean, when you're winning games and you're balling, you're playing good as a defense, you're going to want to have fun. You're going to want to, you know, your emotions kind of take over at some point. I think, you know, if you're not winning and you're losing and you score a touchdown and you're trying to make a big celebration, I think it's kind of selfish. But like I said, when you're winning, it's always fun.
All right, so there's always that question, like when you've got a hot hand in basketball and you got to go with a heat check. Like if a guy hits a couple of threes in a row, you want to see, like, man, how hot am I? When you have 5 picks in the last 2 games, do you feel like you've got the hot hand when it comes to interceptions, or is the ball just finding you right now?
Yeah, I won't say it's a hot hand with interceptions at all. I think it's just, I feel like I'm in kind of a zone right now. I'm not even talking just, you know, picking the ball off. When it comes to everything, just reading my keys, doing what I'm supposed to do, playing my technique, what I've been coached to do in practice. I just feel like I'm in kind of a zone right now where everything's just clicking right now.
All right, so is there a part of you that feels like opposing quarterbacks are testing you and they should know better, or are you fine with them trying to see if they can beat you?
Of course, I'm always fine with, you know, them keep trying me. I feel like with the amount of interceptions I had in college, you know, I would think that some quarterbacks would, you know, kind of know that, you know, this guy's a ball hawk, but, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to let the secret out. I'm just going to keep on playing my technique and picking the ball off. The ball's in the air.
I think they know, though. I think the secret's out. Kevin Byard, my guest.
Most definitely.
Now, Wesley Woodyard said of you, quote, "We knew he was going to be one of our best players, most dominant players." Brian Arakpo said, quote, "I've been around a lot of great players. He definitely has blossomed into one of those greats the way he's playing this year." I'm telling you, these are two vets with a ton of credibility in that game. So what's it mean to hear that kind of praise from those two guys?
Oh, it's amazing. I have a ton of respect for Brian Arakpo and Wesley Woodyard. You know, Wesley is a guy who's been a 10-year captain. He's been a captain ever since he's been in the league, even as a rookie. So I have a ton of respect for that guy especially. So to hear, you know, words come from him and Rack is definitely humbling.
Now, those two guys are not the only guys. Michael Griffin, who was a fixture at safety for the Titans for a long time, said, "I read articles about him studying safeties and trying to incorporate their game into his. But at the end of the day, he's right there at the next level. He's taken that next step in his second year. The sky's the limit for the kid." End quote. So who are some of the safeties that you studied on the way up? And what are the types of things that you do that you've learned from them?
So I would say, you know, not as far as studying, but the guys that I took my inspiration from, guys who I kind of wanted to model my game after a little bit, was definitely guys like Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, and Brian Dawkins. I haven't watched as much film as on those guys because, you know, I guess the years of, you know, how many years they played ago. But as of right now, I'm studying all the top guys. I've been studying Earl Thomas since college. I studied Eric Berry, you know, Eric Weddle. I'm studying Michael Hyde right now. He's having a phenomenal year as well. So, you know, I watch film on everybody, try to, you know, still a little bit so I can put it in my toolbox.
You know, I can see that. I could see where you might take a little of something from everybody, but then there are certain things that you can't teach, right? There's certain instinctive things that you can't teach. Like Griffin said, you're always around the ball and you've got a knack, quote, "I don't think it's something you can coach." So obviously you've put in the time, but does some of this just come naturally, and is some of this just things that you cannot teach somebody?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I started all my career playing football on the offensive side. I really wasn't a defensive-minded guy. I was a quarterback, went to the receiver. And I think that kind of helped my transition playing safety with, you know, kind of knowing and understanding certain route combinations and, you know, where receivers, what they're looking for as far as coverage and things like that. So it's definitely been helping my transition. I don't feel like this is something that you can coach. I think that when I watch other guys, watch other top safeties, I'm just trying to take a little bit from them and incorporate that within my game.
Kevin Byard, my guest. Kevin, you said at the very top that if these guys had seen me in college, they would know that I'm around the ball and I can make plays. You set school records with 19 career interceptions, 377 interception return yards. You had 4 interception returns for TDs in Middle Tennessee State. So it's not exactly a surprise that you lead the league in interceptions. So what was your time at Middle Tennessee State like? And then how does it feel to be representing the school on the biggest stage?
I mean, it's awesome. It's just great. And the crazy thing about it is for me to to play at Middle Tennessee and then get drafted by Nashville, the Tennessee Titans, to only drive 30 minutes up the street to Nashville, it's a blessing, you know, to stay around my fan base, and my family can still drive 3 hours up the street from Atlanta to come see my game. So it's a perfect situation. My time at MT was great. To be honest, I felt like, especially coming out, I was kind of, you know, overlooked a little bit. I mean, I had the stats, I had all those things, but, you know, John Robinson, you know, definitely took a risk on me and jumped on me and drafted me, and I appreciate him forever. And I told him that when he drafted me that, you know, he definitely didn't make a mistake.
Hey, listen, your energy and your motivation and your drive's always been off the charts, always been really, really high. But if you feel like that you were a little bit overlooked coming out of college, are those things even greater because of that?
Oh, of course. I think, you know, that kept the chip on my shoulder coming into the league, saying that, you know, some guys still don't think I may be the top safety in this draft class. So that just kept my motivation on wanting to work hard. And my motivation is always still to better myself. So I'm not really worried about, you know, other guys. I'm just worried about trying to better myself and keep trying to be the best safety that Kevin Byard can be.
Now, over the years, I've talked with guys like Arakpo and Woodyard about what it means to play Titan football. What does Titan football mean to you? And then how would you describe it? What is it exactly?
I would say, first of all, it's physical, you know, on both sides of the ball. We want to be physical. We want to be one of the most physically dominating teams. We want to be able to play at a level that other people can't play at, because we're trying to win games. And I would think the next part is just together. You know, we have a special togetherness on this team that I think a lot of teams don't have. Just, I don't know if it's being a small-knit town or whatever, but, you know, we really enjoy being around each other in the locker room and in practice. And the last thing I would say is just together. You know, we just got a real togetherness about us.
Tennessee's at home against Cincinnati. They're playing much better football right now. Kevin Byard's having a huge year, leads the NFL in interceptions. Kevin, man, I love that energy. I like the way you play a lot, and I like talking to you, too. Really, really good, positive energy. Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you again.
Great talking to you. Kevin Byard, he is around the ball, like, all game long. I don't know why, even as a second-year player, why you're throwing in this guy's direction. He's obviously prepared. He's going to make plays. He makes lots of plays, and it's pretty rare that you hear veterans like Wesley Woodyard or Brian Arakpo or a guy like Michael Griffin talk about a second-year player the way they talk about this guy. And he's got all the motivation he needs coming out of Middle Tennessee State. The 64th pick overall, second-year player, already leads the NFL in picks, and the future is so bright. I mean, his upside is off the charts. In terms of the Twitter hammer, I'm getting some reaction. Jim in Temecula emails, Jim, don't you dare edit the hammer soundbite. It is freaking perfect. It's good. It might even be great, but is this too much of a good thing?
Stop. Hammer time. Give me back my 140.
Too much down there, man.
How long is that compared to how long the LT hammer is in terms of duration or running length? And also that the manual buzzer from Rachel at the very end, does that kind of feel like you slammed it in there and it's not tight? She's kind of hanging off the end of it. Does it make it better? Come on, Alvin, you got to sell your thing to me. It's your work of art, your piece of art. I normally never, ever question anything you do. Jeff from the 919 tweets, Alvin DeLauro is too smart for the show. Good thing Adam Hawk is there to level things out. Unwore cats and hot pockets. Hey, look, I'm not afraid to say it. I like cats. I like Hot Pockets. I wouldn't tweet about either one of them. I like them both.
What?
I mean, it doesn't make you a lame. Hawk, I like both those things. I've got your back. I'll go on record. What? I like cats. We have cats. I like them both. Got two cats. One's name is Sapphire.
It's two for me.
And one's name is Cody. Our family cats. I tried to name it. Well, you know, I tried to name it. Janet wouldn't let me go with the Bombay Sapphire. I'm like, we got two cats. We got them at the same time. They're in the same age. Let's just name them Bombay Sapphire. And Janet killed that. Just like Janet wouldn't let me name both kids. I got one. She got one. I got one cat. She got one cat. Actually, I think I named the other cat too. But just not what I wanted to name it. I named it Cody. But I want it to be Bombay. Hey, come here, Bombay. Here, kitty, kitty. Bombay Sapphire. Bring it on in. Hey, yo, boys, Bombay Sapphire, come on in. Like, how cool would that have been? Bombay Sapphire. Instead, I got Cody Sapphire. Anyway, we have cats. I like cats. We don't really have Hot Pockets, but I don't mind them. Anyway, Hawk, eat your Hot Pockets, like your cats, and keep them off your Twitter feed. And what was that crap last night about how you got two brothers and two parents and five sisters, and they're all in a group chat, and you hit Do Not Disturb, and thank God for that. Great tweet, Adam. Come on, bro. Let me go back and see exactly what it was. Two parents, four brothers, two sister-in-laws, and my wife, all on a group text arguing about how to do Secret Santa this year. God bless the Do Not Disturb feature on my phone. Hey, Broham, how many characters is that? I know it's not 140, scrub. Oh, my God, Hawk. Really?
Hammer time. Give me back my 140!
Too much down there, man.
Hold up, Albie. Two parents, four brothers, two sister-in-laws, and my wife, all on a group text, arguing about how to do Secret Santa this year. God bless the...
Hammer time. Give me back my 140!
Too much down there, man.
I want to know the 48 morons who hit like on that. What's to like about that? Number one, you're way over 140. Way over 140, Hawk. It's a company policy, Hawk. So what are you doing as the EP of this show? Bro, you've gotten really... You've improved at your job, honestly. But if I'm on the air every single day saying, you don't go over 140, you don't go over 140, why do you go to like, what is that, like 232? Hawk! Hawk! Pull your head out. Wake up, man. Listen to what the hell your host is saying on the show every single day. Are you going to start self-glossing on Twitter next?
What?
Come on, man.
What?
I mean, dude, not only that, it was a really stupid tweet. Remember, you're not just representing yourself, you're representing me and this brand, all right? My thanks to Kevin Byard, Dennis Dodd, Will Compton, the part of the XR4TI that does not include Hawk. No thanks to you today, Hawk. Come on, that's a bad look. Alvin DeLauro with the Twitter hammer. Thank you, Alvin. Everybody have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.